Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now is Lauren Scheer. She is a field placement coordinator from the International Cultural Exchange Services. Lauren, it's good to have you on the program.
Hi, nice to meet you too.
Now, this is something that I've been, I'm glad that we were able to talk about the subject that we're going to be talking about, which is finding host families for foreign exchange students that come to this, to the Copper Country to study. And you're looking at me, did I say foreign? Because I said foreign exchange students, and that's probably wrong, right?
Well, no, I mean, they are foreign exchange students, and so many of the ones that come up here in high school are ones who fall in love with the area, they get comfortable here, and they later go on to attend at Michigan Tech. So it's kind of opening the doorway to the beginning of their dreams and their careers. They get comfortable being in the UP, they get better at English, and then they're more successful later on.
Okay. So we just don't say foreign exchange students? Is that...
You can say foreign exchange students. That's okay. What they are.
Okay. So who are these students? Where do they come from?
They come from all over the world. This time of the year, most of them are from the Northern Hemisphere. So we have kids from Europe. That's what a lot of people are familiar with. We have kids who are from Asia, you know, kind of really all over. And then coming up here in January, we actually get the Southern Hemisphere kids from Australia and South America because their school year is the exact opposite of ours, so they start in January rather than coming now in September.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. What age or grade level?
They have to turn 15, I think it's either August or September 8th, so they're going to be between 15 and then under 18. So, you know, you're usually your sophomore, junior, and senior class.
Okay, so they're still in high school.
They are still in high school. Okay. We do have a program for post-high school students who have not yet entered college, but it's kind of few and far between where we have those.
I'm interested for these students that are in these other countries, how do they learn about this program? How do they get an opportunity to do this?
Well, ICES is one of the biggest cultural exchange companies or services in the world, and we've got agencies all over in different countries. A lot of families in foreign countries recognize that the U.S. is such a global power that they want their kids to learn English. They want them to be really competitive, you know, scholastically, academically. So they kind of seek us out for that purpose, to make sure that their kids get a good education and a great future.
I'm always amazed just talking with the number of international students that attend our universities here, both Finlandia and especially Michigan Tech, that somebody from, say, India would know of Michigan Tech up here in the Upper Peninsula, and then of all the places in the country to choose to come do their education, they come up here, which, you know, not an easy place to study. So the same, I think, would apply, I guess, to cultural exchange students is, well, why choose here as opposed to studying in outside of Chicago or somewhere?
Well, they don't necessarily choose here. They have the option to request a specific region, or they have the option to say they want more of a metro or more of a rural placement. What we look at is their interests and what experience they want to have when they come here to determine what areas of the country to put different students in. So the ones right now that I'm looking for placement for, and there are four of them, most of them maybe have never seen a heavy snowfall and they really want to experience winter, and man, can we give it to them.
All right. Well, let's talk about those students right now, because these are students that are available as we speak right now. They are looking for families to host them, and we're going to talk about what that means if you're interested in doing that. But first, let's introduce basically our students that are available right now.
All right. Well, the first one we have right now that's looking, and I'm probably going to butcher some of these names. His name is Min Hao. He's from China. His parents own a business together, and he's very close with his family, loves to spend time with grandparents and cousins. He is big into soccer, and then one of his hobbies is calligraphy. He's been doing calligraphy, Chinese calligraphy, for over 10 years, which I think is really nice. He also likes basketball, and he really is just excited to come over to the U.S. and experience American culture and American food. We have Gabriel, who's 16. He would be coming from Brazil. He comes from a split family. His parents are divorced. He's got a three-year-old sister who he really likes. His favorite classes are sociology and psychology, and his father's a lawyer, so I think that probably kind of ties in for him. And he really likes drums and soccer. He does come to Florida once in a while with his mother, so he's seen the United States, but he really wants to build a snowman because he's never been anywhere where there's snow. So he would sure have a blast up here. We have Han Bean. He's 16, and he's from South Korea. He's got a 17-year-old sister, so he's the younger one in this case. Dad is a teacher. His mom works at a bank. They are regular attendees at church, so I think he would really enjoy if we could find him a family here who also goes to church so he could continue that. He's someone who really enjoys school. He plays piano, and he loves to put on little concerts for people, and you know, his dream is to be a computer programmer, so he's one of those ones where I could see later on he comes back to tech, and he really wants to experience cooking a Thanksgiving dinner with an American family because, you know, they don't have our Thanksgiving. And our last student is a little younger. He is just 15. His name is Kaiwit, and he's from Thailand. He's got a older brother also, and his parents own an orchid farm. So we thought he might be a good transplant to this area. We've got a lot of agriculture up here. It can be a little rural, so he might enjoy that. He likes soccer and table tennis, and he's really obsessed with American culture, and he said his goal is to come over and cook traditional Thai food for a family here. So if someone here is big on pad Thai, he might be good for you.
All right. It'd be nice to have all of these students in the town in time for Parade of Nations, and they can see how we celebrate our international diversity here in the Keweenaw. What needs to happen for these students to be able to come realize their dream?
You know, it's so easy to host a foreign exchange student. I think people imagine that it's going to be a big financial burden, but really, as a family, all you're responsible for is making sure that you provide them meals when they're at home. They actually can bring money to pay for their own school lunches, so it's just the meals at home. They need to have a bed of their own to stay in, but they can share a room with another child of the same gender. So, I mean, if you're financially stable enough to provide food, you're pretty much okay. You'd have to pass a background check, and then you would submit a couple references, and I would call on those, and I'd come and make sure the home looks safe. But other than that, you know, you're making sure they can get to school.
Any requirements for the host families? Do you need a husband and wife married? Do you need them to have other children in the home? Anything like that?
No, not at all. In fact, I have one host family that I just signed up. The woman lives in Chassel, and, you know, she's in her early 30s, single woman, and she's going to have an exchange student with her, and there's no problem really with that. We just double check with the families of the children coming over that they are okay with it too. It really, anybody can be a family.
Now, you mentioned how it's not that expensive, so let's just start with one expense. So food, you're going to be, that's the one thing.
That's really your one expense, is providing meals.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be exciting in itself just because, all right, for any one of these students, whether you're introducing them to foods they've never had or allowing them to introduce you to foods you never had, a nice experience, just that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, I'm from a big foodie family, so if we were ready to host ourselves, I think my husband would be geeking out about some of these kids.
All right, I'd love to take the student from China to some of our ethnic restaurants and be like, so is this anything like supposed to be invited?
It depends if you get him the secret menu.
The secret menu.
Yeah, most of our restaurants up here have a secret menu that they offer to the Asian students that go to tech.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what about other expenses? Just because it's expensive to have a teenager, medical insurance, spending money, their clothes, all these sort of things
they
that we
normally
do. They
come with all of that. Most of them, their parents will either give them a debit card or send them with cash. They might get a monthly allowance from parents, but if they choose to play sports, their family covers that. If they're in an after-school club, their family covers that. If they want to go to the movies with some friends, that's on them. I mean, anything other than those meals at home, the student is responsible for. Even if you went on a family vacation, say, to California for Christmas, if the child wanted to go with you, the parents would pay for his plane ticket, too.
How are these students usually, behaved, I suppose, when they're here? Because if you're hosting them, you're not their parent, you're not a foster parent, but you still have a home, you still have rules, and you would like to, I guess you want to you want them to come and go in a certain sense that is safe for yourself and your family. So what has been the experience there?
Well, our guideline is that you treat them as if they are your own child. You have to set out rules for them as if, you know, it was your teenager. And if there was a really big issue, obviously a family could contact me to intervene. But usually the kids that are coming here are kids who are really responsible. We pre-vet them. They get interviewed. They've got to have great GPAs. They've got to have recommendation from family and teachers. They're here to study and get an education. So they're not here to be troublemakers. There might be that initial, like, they're a little bit moody for a week or two because it's culture shock when you come over to the United States from somewhere totally different. But as far as behavior, I think they're usually really great.
What about the language barrier?
They all have to pass an English language proficiency test with at least a score of 200, and they have to be recommended by their English teacher. So they're going to come over already having good English skills.
Oh, neat. All right. How long has this program been active around here?
I know Rose, who I work with, has been doing it for about 3 years, but Andrea, who's our regional manager, I think has been doing it more like 10. I know there are also some other companies, but we all work a little bit differently. This is a more interactive company where I will be calling families every month to check on their students, calling or emailing the kid to make sure that they're doing well, and then checking in with schools monthly too. So it's a little bit more one-on-one. And the company itself has been around for 25 years.
Okay. I was wondering if you were able to share any stories of students that have been in this area and what their experience was like, if they gave you any feedback.
I haven't gotten to talk to too many. I've gotten some secondhand stories from Rose, who I work with. She actually takes 2 students into her home every year, and I think she already has 8 kids. So they've got a very full household. But she had 2 boys who just arrived this week, one of them from, I think, Germany, and the other one from Spain, and they were helping her unload her hay wagon last night into the barn. So,
oh, nice.
I mean, they're also responsible for some household chores. They really are a part of the family.
Now, these 4 students that we're still trying to find host families for, are they part of a larger group that are going to be here this fall?
I have currently got 7, I think, enrolled in Houghton High School right now. So Houghton is kind of at their max capacity for how many foreign exchange students they can take. I think Lance has 2. So any other school is open to it. But yeah, we've got about, 7 to 10 kids up here right now.
Do you need the cooperation then of the schools as part of this program too?
Yeah, absolutely. We want to have the schools on board. We want them to be comfortable with the resources that the kids have and to know that we're really going to follow through and support them in whatever way they need.
Do you have enough schools?
Yes, I actually was fortunate yesterday. I got to attend the superintendent's roundtable meeting at the ISD and present on our program to schools so that, they get a little more comfort level and know that they can come to us if they have any needs or if they think they've got a family that would be good candidates for us.
Okay. What sort of adjustments does a school have to make in order to be ready to take a cultural exchange student?
Well, they have to make sure that the kids are following the guidelines. In order to stay a part of our program, our students have to maintain at least a C in a math class, an English class, and either U.S. history or U.S. government. But that's not to say that their home countries don't have more rigorous standards. A student from Spain, per se, they've got to have an A in order for those credits to count when they go back home. So, making sure that the kids are adjusting and kind of keeping an eye on them initially to make sure that they're doing well is something that we hope that schools can help us with, be an extra pair of eyes.
I imagine that as the families of the students that are pay for their opportunity to come here. So am I correct in assuming that?
So yes.
I just bring that up because, so they're paying to come. They got to get good grades.
Yes.
It's a situation that they don't want to mess it up. And so you can probably, going back to my question earlier, it's very likely that you're going to get a student that is first and foremost concerned about doing well in school and being welcome in your home and, being polite and going back, with a good experience.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are not kids who are here for their Miami Beach spring break. They've got things to get done.
That's great. right, so if let's talk about the process to get a family ready. You said it's fairly simple.
It is pretty simple. It would start off with giving me an email address. I would put it into our system, and it gives the family a link to start filling out the application. It's almost like applying for a job. You're going to put your household members, you're going to put the address, you would give us three references, and then there's a background check, but all it is a link online where you put in your social security and your name, and in 2 days it gets processed and back to us. After that, I would come out to the home, take a couple photos that we can send back to the student so they know where they're going to be staying and get a comfort level, and that I know that it's a clean, safe home and that you have a bedroom for that kid somewhere. And, I mean, really, that's about it.
Yeah. Other concerns that parents, or I say parents, but say the host families sometimes bring up, whether it's their pets or their location, if you know, because if you have to be closer to town, what if you're in one of the more rural areas here in our four-county area?
I mean, if there's a school they can attend and you can get them there and make sure that they're able to attend school, that's really what the focus is for us. As far as pets and things, we really try to match up kids to the right families. And if it's a kid who has allergies to animals, we will include that on their bio so that you can see and know, oh, well, we've got cats. Maybe this isn't the student for us.
Okay. What about training? Because I can imagine that some people would be a little apprehensive. Maybe they don't know they'll do a good job being a host family.
Well, I mean, it just takes caring and being a family, but we do have an orientation coming up on September 9th after all of our students have arrived. I think in the last week we've had about 5 arrive, and they're already kind of getting used to spending time with their families. So we're all going to get together on September 9th, do a little orientation, and then hike Canyon River Falls together.
Oh, well, they're getting down to crunch time here for these students. Well, if you do not get more host families, what happens to these 4 students?
Well, you know, we will just keep trying to find them homes, but if school starts and they haven't found placement, then they may not be able to come over this year.
Oh, that'd be tragic.
Yeah.
Okay, so well, we're putting that call out right now to all people out there in radio land. You said they have to have a bedroom that they can have.
They've got to have a bed they can sleep in. And, you know, it's got to be somewhere where there's a little bit of quiet for them to study because grades are so important. They've got to have transportation to school.
Okay. And you've got to feed them.
Yes, and you've got to feed them.
So otherwise, it's a long semester if you don't eat.
Well, most of these are all going to be kids who are here for a full 10 months. If you were not quite ready or maybe on the fence or you didn't want a student here for a full 10 months, you could also talk to me and start the application process for the kids who are going to be coming in January. Some of them may be only semester.
Well, in the situation that it's not working out, either the student is just very unhappy being here, maybe unhappy with their host family if that had to be the case, or if it's just not, if there's just issues, what, are you stuck?
No, absolutely not. We would look into the situation because every situation is different, and sometimes it's something that can be easily mediated. Sometimes they're just a little homesick. But if there were a real clash where it wasn't a good fit for the family, we would take them out, you know, place them in a temporary home. They may stay with me or with the other coordinator who's up here until we can find a different arrangement for them.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that there's a backup plan. Hopefully it doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. We're here to support kids and support families and support the schools. So it's really not where we're just going to dump this kid on you and drop the ball.
That's good to know. All right. Well, we talked about what you have to do, what you have to provide, what the basic, the minimum requirements are. But now talk to me about, you've got a student in your home from another country who is here for an educational experience of a lifetime. It's also an experience of a lifetime for yourself. You have an opportunity to be the ambassador of our country and then of the Keweenaw to this young person who's here studying. What are some things you can do besides just feeding them and sending them off to school with these students in the 10 months that they're here?
Well, you mentioned earlier Parade of Nations and International Festival. Before I started with this company over this summer, Rose, who I work with, who lives in Covington, had never even heard of it. So once I told her about it, she got excited, and we want to actually make that something that our students all go to when they come over because it's a great experience. And a lot of families end up, if they go on a road trip, if they go to visit relatives, they take the kid with them. I mean, they're part of your family for the year. So a lot of the times they get to experience not just the Keweenaw, but I know we're going to take them to Mall of America. I've got a family who wants to take their host daughter to Kansas City to meet her sister, one that wants to take them down to Florida to meet some relatives. So they really get to be a part of your family and see often more of the U.S. than just the Copper Country. You know, not that there's anything better than here.
While they're here, they also have an opportunity to experience a lot of our recreational opportunities that maybe they don't have. Certainly, the one student, I don't remember which one, if it was the one from Brazil that wanted to build a snowman.
Yeah, and a lot of them really want to try skiing. So, I mean, their families can certainly get them a lift pass for Mount Ripley if they want to participate in skiing, too.
What about holidays and religion? Because if there is a conflict with, you know, so you have families that celebrate Christmas, and how do you recommend they do that?
Most of the students that come over are from Christian families, but not all of them. Some of the students from Asian countries may be Buddhist or may not, you know, any of them may not have a religion at all. We look to match with the right family. So if it's important to you that you've got a student who's going to participate in church services with you, then we look for a student who that's already what they would be doing when they're in their home countries. If you are somebody who really is against going to church or you don't go often just because you don't have the time, then we might find a student who it's not so important to them either. You know, it really is something where we want to make sure it's a good match.
It just sounds to me like it would be so much fun. We were talking. I did look into doing this because I thought it was a great opportunity. Instead, went the foster care route and to become foster parents.
Well, you can always do both.
I don't have the room in the house. That's the one thing. And I wouldn't want to have to turn away a foster student or foster kid because we don't have the room. But I see so many exciting possibilities with this. Because, you know, just taking somebody from Thailand to a Michigan Tech hockey game.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that would be fun.
You know, and, you know, if for the students that are already here, being able to go to the Hohen County Fair this weekend. Mm-hmm. But there's still other things. Hey, you know, the student from Brazil has never seen a snowman. Well, come to Heikenbaiva.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Come to Winter Carnival. Sure. Look at all those snow sculptures. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, so a lot of really great things. So hopefully we have interested at least four host families in the audience, because that's what we need. So let's go back to talk about, you know, for you, if you've been listening to this and you want to know more, potentially be a host family, what's the first step you need to take?
The first step you're going to take is to contact me. I am on Facebook, really easy to find. You can go to icesusa.org for more information. My email is Lauren E. Scherr, and the last name is scherr@gmail.com. Or you can call or text me. My number is 586-531-1516. I do live in Tapiola, so my signal is terrible, but I'll answer as quick as I can to get the process started or, you know, make sure that you know what you're getting into.
Okay. We did run a story on Keweenaw Report earlier this week with this contact information. So if you want to go to KeweenawReport.com, scroll through the news, you'll eventually find it, or you can search for exchange student and it will come up. And tell me what the follow-up is once this is all done. Or, you know, you said you keep in touch throughout the time.
I'm actually required by my company to contact the school, the student, and the family at least once a month.
Okay. What's the follow-up between both you and the student and lasting connections and relationships between those host families and those students?
Well, I know some families who hosted students probably 15 years ago that were from Germany and Sweden. And they still fly over and visit them about every other year, and the girls still come here to visit the family. I mean, they call those their daughters. That kind of becomes your family for life.
Right. And if they do happen to come back here to attend university, when, you know, they know somebody. That's important.
Yeah, they know somebody. You continue that relationship. And what a great thing even for us as a country. The U.S. has so often vilified other places. And here we have the opportunity to show what we are really about and, you know, how warm and welcoming and great this country is.
Well said. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.